9th chapter, text number 3. Yari Baba Mahim Nisve.
Yari Baba Mahim Nisve.
Yari Baba Mahim Nisve.
Yari Baba Mahim Nisve.
Parasmin Kala Mayayo.
Parasmin Kala Mayayo.
Parasmin Kala Mayayo.
Parasmin Kala by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in its constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as a pure self. The purport is quite long. We'll see how much we go by paragraph. We'll do the first paragraph, and then we discuss the points, then we do the second paragraph and discuss the points, and we'll see how far we go to, because we've got a limited time. So you can also do some homework, and you can go back and read the rest. So purport, please listen attentively. The two misconceptions of life, namely I and mine, are verily manifested in two classes of men. In the lower state, the conception of mine is very prominent, and in the higher state, the misconception of I is prominent. In the animal state of life, the misconception of mind is perceivable even in the category of cats and dogs, who fight with one another with the same misconception of mind. In the lower stage of human life, the same misconception is also prominent in the shape of, it is my body. It is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on. And in the higher stage of speculative knowledge, the same misconception of mine is transformed into I am, or it is all I am, etc. There are many classes of men comprehending the same misconception of I and mine in different colors. But the real significance of I can be realized only when one is situated in the consciousness of I am the eternal servitor of the Lord. This is pure consciousness, and the whole Vedic literatures teach us this conception of life. Shri Chaitanya Manodhisna Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamai Tadati Sarva. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shiva Sati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Talk about Krishna also, you need the mercy of the Lord. Because we are a tiny, fragmental part of the Lord. So how can a tiny, fragmental soul can describe about Supreme Lord? It's not possible. So only by the mercy of the Lord, we can talk whatever is possible. Now, this chapter 9 is about the answers that Shukadeva Goswami is going to give, right, for all the questions that's been asked by Maharaj Parikshit in chapter 8. So in chapter 8, text verse number 7, Shukadeva Goswami is asking a very, very intelligent question to, Maharaj Parikshit is asking a very, very intelligent question to Shukadeva Goswami. He's saying, how do the living entity acquire this material body? Is it by accident or there is a cause? How do we get this material body, right? We take it for granted, isn't it? Right? So this is a very intelligent question posed by Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami. How did the one acquire? Is it by accident or is it by a cause? Now, there is a series of questions which Maharaj Parikshit is asking Shukadeva Goswami in chapter 8. Now we are in chapter 9. Now, in chapter 9, Shukadeva Goswami is answering one by one. So this is in reply to the question which Maharaj Parikshit has already asked him. So, Shukadeva Goswami is answering this question, which is basically verse number 1, 2 and 3. Shukadeva Goswami is talking about the relationship between the eternal soul and the temporary material body. There is a relationship. So this verse number 1, 2 and 3 is talking about it. Right? Now verse number 1 and 2 talks about how a living entity, you know, comes in contact with the material energy and he identifies, especially verse number 2 is talking about the misconception of I and mine. Due to false ego. More is talked about verse number 2. Now verse number 3 is saying, if someone takes up to transcendence or devotion service or activity connected to the service of the Supreme Lord, then immediately he can transcend the three modes of material nature and realize that he is a spirit soul. He can realize. It's not difficult. But one has to follow the process of devotional service. Right? So, coming back into this purport which Srila Prabhupada was mentioning. So, he's talking mainly, you know, I and mine. Right? And he's talking about the two classes of men. Right? Now, this misconception of life, I and mine, right, comes from the body. It's got nothing to do with the soul, right? I am this body. Everything belongs to this body is mine. My family. Srila Prabhupada says, this is my family. Right? What all does he say? My family, my house, my caste, my nation, my country. See, everything is starting from the body. Misconception. This is due to ahankar or false ego. Right? The false ego is the most thickest covering of the material energy. All of us, right, who are practicing devotional service, if we have to leave this material world, we have to pass through the thickest layer of false ego, even though it's very subtle in nature. The false ego is a very, very subtle element, very subtle. You cannot touch, you cannot see, but you can feel it. We are all having it, right? I am man, I am God. Very, very subtle covering of the living, which basically binds the living entity to this world. Right? It's the soul, right? The soul, which is Satchitananda Vigraha, right? Which is very, very pure. When that soul comes in contact with this material energy and comes in contact, right? The false ego is added onto the soul, right? It's covered basically, right? And so the Satchitananda Vigraha, which is pure in nature, is covered by nescience. So the body is given to cover the soul, which is made up of blood, urine and stool. That's how this body is covered. So this soul, when it makes an unholy contact with the material energy, we are getting this body. We are making the contact. Right? Actually, we are supposed not to have this body. But we wanted to have it. Hence, we are trapped into material energy in nescience. And hence, we are covered by matter. A spirit soul is covered by matter. And how can a spirit soul enjoy matter? Cannot do. But we are enjoying how? In the presence of material energy, covered by false ego. If there is no false ego, then it's very easy to perform devotion service. Because you think that I am not the enjoyer, I am not the controller. Right? But because this false ego is there, I am the enjoyer, I am the controller, you cannot serve Krishna. Not possible. Right? See, if I think that I am the master and the controller, how can I serve Krishna? What is the position of Krishna? Supreme position of Krishna cannot be realized. So, as Srila Prabhupada says in the last word of this first stanza, paragraph, that one should know that he is a servant of Krishna. Then the false ego slowly leaves him. Unless one comes to the understanding that Jivere Swarupoi Krishnere Nitya Das, servant of Krishna. As long as you don't have this concept, this material energy will not leave you. Right? And if you want the material energy to leave you, you have to be subordinate to the will and instructions of the Lord. That's what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita. As long as we listen to the instruction of the Lord, then yes, there's a chance that we can be slowly released from the grip of material energy, which is basically the false ego is the main component. But if one is not subordinate to the instruction of the Lord, how can one get freedom from this false ego? Right? Which is covering the material energy. You know? Which is everything covering. And very, very difficult also to pass through that layer, thickest layer, but very thin, very, very subtle in nature. Now, this material energy, Lord's illusory energy, is created for the conditioned soul to forget Krishna. It's created to forget Krishna. Right? Because, why it's created to forget Krishna? Because, if you see, everything is coming from Krishna. Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhava, mattaha sarva prapartate. Right? Everything is coming from Krishna. Right? Aham sarvasya prabhava. Then Bhoktaram. Yajna Tapasam. So the Krishna is a benefactory of all the sacrifices. Right? And then Mattara Parataram Nanyat. So all these loka where Krishna says that there's nothing existing without Krishna, right? It's like a pearl which is strung on a thread. You cannot see. See, this bead is there, right? I don't see the thread, but it is strung, right? So this is Krishna's potential. So if Krishna, there cannot be anything without Krishna. Right? Everything is basically Krishna. That is what all these verses confirm, right? Everything is the presence of Krishna. All these verses, Mattara Paraparamnani, Kinchit Archi Jamanjaya. All these verses confirm. But yet, a living entity, he thinks that he is separate from Krishna. How that is possible? Just think a little bit deeply, right? Krishna is saying, there is nothing that exists without him. Everything, how the Lord enters, right, into the world, into the, so each of the planet as Mahavishnu. Then in every atoms, right, every individual atom, the Lord is entering as Chiratakashaya Vishnu. Every atom, every individual is entering also as Paramatma. So how can you avoid Krishna? He knows basically everything. But a living entity thinks that he is separate from Krishna. Right? This is the effect of the material energy. Why? Because if you think of Krishna, you cannot enjoy. Living entity has a desire to enjoy. Because of his desire to enjoy, he has to forget Krishna. As long as he knows Krishna, he cannot enjoy matter. Right? See the connection? As long as one knows Krishna, he realizes that he is a spirit soul. A soul cannot enjoy matter. But if you forget Krishna, you realize that you are the matter. So matter, you can enjoy matter. See the connection there? So, this is how it works. The material energy is basically, you know, covering a living entity. Why? Because he puts him under ignorance. Ignorance. Right? What is ignorance? Forgetfulness of Krishna and thinking that he is a body. Right? So how it works is, forgetfulness of Krishna leads to ignorance. Ignorance means desire to enjoy. When you have a desire to enjoy, you do sinful activities. If you do sinful activities, suffering. Karma. See how it works? Five rules to remember. Forgetfulness of Krishna leads to ignorance. Ignorance means desire to enjoy. If you don't know Krishna, you feel, yes, right, I'll enjoy. Desire to enjoy. Then if you have a desire to enjoy, you do sinful activities. And then you are trapped into Maya, material energy, because of your reaction. We exploit the material energy. And hence there is a reaction from the material energy. Hence you suffer the reaction. You enjoy, you suffer. You don't enjoy, you don't suffer. It's a basic fundamental rule. Right? Anything, you know, you enjoy. That's why if you lead Krishna consciousness life, a devotional life, then you don't enjoy. Because you give the enjoyment to Krishna. You work for the enjoyment of Krishna. When you work for the enjoyment of Krishna, then your enjoyment is not there. And hence there is no karma. Karma-free life, Krishna consciousness. Alright? So this, so the Krishna has got three potents, main potencies. The supreme energy, the Lord's spiritual energy, which is superior in nature, which is full of knowledge. Alright? And the second is the Lord's, we are all the Lord's living entity, the marginal potency. We are all Lord's living entity, right? And then the third one is a knowledge covering potency, which is ignorance, maya. How it works? If you know Krishna, you have the knowledge, and hence you know that you are the soul. Then the ignorance is removed. Right? But if you are in ignorance, that means it covers the real knowledge. What is the real knowledge? That you are the soul. No, you are the soul. If you don't know that you are the soul, how can you surrender? Surrender is comes later. First you have to know that you are the spirit soul. Otherwise, why? What's the need for you to surrender? Right? If I know that I am the body, why should I surrender to Krishna? I will not surrender. But if I know that I am not this body, but I am spirit soul, then I will surrender to Krishna, right? Yes or no? As long as, that's what the first paragraph says, as long as the living entity, get this point right, okay? As long as a living entity identifies with the material energy and thinks that he is a body, there is no freedom from the material energy for him. No freedom. Why? Because his knowledge that he is a spirit soul is covered. If you know that you are this body and not the soul, why will you take up Krishna consciousness? But if you know that you are not this body but spirit soul, yes. Yes, then the next step is, yes, I am not this body. I am covered. Then I will take up Krishna consciousness. Right? Then comes all this. And the last thing is surrender. That is a slow process. You know? It's a stages. There are many stages of surrender. And then you take up. Right? So this ignorance is very, very important. Right? For us to know. Because if we are in ignorance, we will never know Krishna. Right? First, we have to come out of ignorance. So this mode, the material energy is comprising of the three modes. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Right? Now this ignorance and passion is horrible. Okay? If one is in ignorance and passion, one cannot realize Krishna. Very, very difficult. So, in the 12th canto, Krishna is recommending Uddhava, conquer the lower modes of passion, lower modes of passion and ignorance by coming to the mode of goodness, developing the mode of goodness, and then stay in the mode of goodness and perform devotional service. And then you will attain the transcendental stage. From transcendental stage, you can perform pure devotion service. Right? So what we are doing is devotion service. Krishna, pure devotion service attracts Krishna. So what we have to do? First of all, we have to realize that we are a spirit soul completely, not theoretically. And then in that mode, if you do devotion service, that attracts Krishna straight away. Right? So at this stage, you know, we have to transcend the lower modes, mode of passion and ignorance, and situate ourselves in the mode of goodness and practice, and then slowly we can transcend that. Right? How do you go to mode of goodness? Just like that, by jumping? No. You have to develop the, Krishna describes, you have to develop the qualities. Getting up early in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna, taking Krishna prasadam, doing your prescribed duties, austerity, tolerance, patience, humility. One has to develop. It doesn't come off like that. And then you situate yourself in the mode of goodness, again do devotion service, go to the mode of transcendental mode, and then from there, Krishna conscious, you can attract Krishna, pure devotion service. Right? So one has to practice the qualities of the mode of goodness. It's not that getting up at 9 o'clock and chanting. It may work, but this you're doing it in the mode of passion ignorance, right? So one has to get that. So Srila Prabhupada was insisting on that. Getting up morning, chanting. As far as possible, in the mode of goodness. All mode of goodness, you know. Truthfulness, honesty, right? As far as possible, being truthful. All these develop the qualities. So, in the previous verse, right? In the verse number 2, it was said that there are 8.4 million species of the forms of life, right? A person gets, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, how one gets? Because of the work he has performed with the three modes of material nature. So he accused the body. For example, in the previous birth, right? If one accused, or even in this birth, right? There are three modes of material nature. Goodness, passion, ignorance. If you associate with the mode of goodness, forget about Krishna consciousness for a minute. Associate with the mode of goodness, you get a demigod body. You can be Chandra, Surya, maintain all the people. But you have to develop that. Okay? Now, if you develop the mode of passion, what is mode of passion? Unlimited desires. Attraction between man and woman. Passion. Now, if you dwell in the mode of passion, then you'll again come back in this world and you again take one more body. Man's body and woman's body. Mode of passion. Now, if you associate with the mode of ignorance, what happens? You get an animal body. So, look at all the animals, cats and dogs. You know, in the previous birth, they were associating with the mode of
ignorance.
Look at us. We were associating with the mode of passion in the last birth. So we got the human form. Look at all the demigods, right? They associated with the mode of goodness. So they got demigod body. very powerful body. Now this birth, regardless of your nature, if you take a Krishna consciousness, you can transcend the three modes and you can get a transcendental body and serve Krishna permanently. No more birth, death, old age, disease. The choice is left to us. Right? See, the free will is given to us, right? The free will is an intrinsic property which is native or which is an inherited property of the jiva. Krishna is completely free. Nityo nityana, chetana chetana na, yeko bhagunam yo vitanti kama. That verse from Katha Upanishad, Srila Prabhupada mentions how many times, right? Because that shows that Krishna is completely independent. Right? Krishna is the only person, supremely independent. He can do whatever he wants. There is no restriction for him. There is no binding. The material energy does not bind him. For example, if I do whatever I want, what happens? I'm bound by the modes of material nature. Say for example, I want to take coffee or smoke. Immediately I'm bound by that. Three modes of intelligence binds me. But Krishna is supremely intelligent, supremely independent, intelligent also, completely. Because we are part and parcel of the Lord, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. We are eternal, fragmental part of the Lord, hence we can also have independence. Freedom is given to us. How? To the degree, it's very, very small. Small degree. So every one of us has chosen or can be, you can use the freedom, right? For some of the people have chosen to be here. Listen, this is your freedom, this minute you have chosen. Some other people would not prefer, or someone may be listening, you know, right? Some person, oh, I don't want to listen, I don't want to come to Krishna, I want to enjoy. It is their freedom, for which they, that is a reaction, right? So freedom is given every minute. The free will is given to the individual. At every minute, are you going to serve Krishna or are you going to serve yourself? This is a free will. Because we are part and parcel of Krishna, this free will is given to us also. But in a minute degree. Because if we give more freedom, Krishna gives us more, we'll exploit the material energy. With the so small freedom, you can see, people are exploiting, right? If more freedom is given, what will happen? So Krishna knows how to tackle the living entities. So if living entity, as described in verse, the previous verse, gets that form due to his work associated with the material energy, which is faulty in nature. All material activities are faulty in nature. Because, why it is faulty in nature? As far as a materialist is concerned, he is doing a perfect job. That's fine. But as long as Krishna conscious, spiritual knowledge is concerned, it's a faulty work. Why? Because it produces another body. As long as any activity you do which produces another body, this is considered faulty. According to Krishna, according to Vedas, according to scriptures. Right? They don't care about, you know, what kind of money you're earning, what job you're doing. No. Your work, if it is producing one more body, it's a faulty work. Work done as a sacrifice for the Lord Vishnu does not cause bondage in this world. Krishna explains in chapter 2, right? But work done for your own satisfaction causes bondage. What is bondage? The material energy will not leave you. It will keep on giving you body after body. Lion body to drink blood. Mosquito body to suck blood. Bed bugs to again take more blood than mosquitoes. If mosquito thinks, oh, I'm not very happy with my body, I'm not taking enough body, become a bed bug. More blood. No, still I want more body. Become a lion body. No, keep on taking. Snake body, crawling body, tree body. What body you want? Pick and choose. 8.4 million species. Krishna is very, 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 very kind. Okay? Keep on, rotating yourself. Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagyavan Jiva. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. The living entity is wandering the material world, universe after universe, looking and exploiting the material energy, looking for happiness. But when he comes in contact with the Guru, and by the mercy of the Guru, he gets Krishna. And then he goes back. Right? Universe after universe we are going, looking after, seeking pleasure. What pleasure? The soul is looking pleasure after matter. The spirit soul is looking happiness from matter. This is what the material energy. Because it's illusory, it's cheating energy, deluding energy, cheating the person. So once you have the knowledge and come over that, then it's very, very easy. No, no more binding. The material energy will not bind you. Alright? Ignorance or forgetfulness of Krishna. This is based on the desire and karma. As long as the living entity has a desire, right, and the necessary, whatever the karma he has produced from his past reaction, he has to change bodies. And Krishna consciousness is the solution, right? Now, the reason is that Krishna is also willing to reciprocate or ready to serve whatever desire we have based on our karma, right? Whatever desire we have. If we want to get a cat's body, fine. Lord is a, you know, supreme authority. He gives that chance. Okay, go and enjoy. We want to become a dog, okay, you want to become a pig, fine. Eat stool, yes, that's also good. Whatever it may be. So it keeps on going, you know, based on our desire. Okay, Krishna reciprocates. As a father, right? As a father, he does that. Srila Prabhupada talks about, see, one point we covered so far, which is that Srila Prabhupada and the purport, look at how heavy the purport is, right? When Srila Prabhupada talks about two classes of men, the first type he says is ignorance, which they say that it's mine, everything is mine, I, my body, mine. So that is the thing we cover because of ignorance. The second type Srila Prabhupada talks about is I, which means the people in the knowledge level, people are performing speculative knowledge, jnani, right? They do speculative knowledge. You know, they don't surrender to Krishna. They know there is a God somewhere speculating. Maybe he's like this. Maybe he's got 1,000 hands. Maybe he's got one eyes. He's not seeing properly. You know, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he does not have a form. Speculative knowledge, jnani, right? But he knows that he's not this body. But his knowledge is speculative, right? So what does a jnani do? Jnani, he does a lot of austerity, right? And he do a lot of really, he uses his mental power to understand Krishna, but his intelligence is polluted. See, there are three levels of Krishna consciousness, right? One is the body, senses, right? You serve Krishna, right? You realize. And then through the mind, chanting. So the mind is contaminated now, impure mind, right? Impure mind thinks that he is the body. Pure mind thinks that he is the soul. So the mind has to be constantly washed, right? It has to be cleaned by the process of Krishna consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Rama. Constantly has to be cleaned, the mind. And then the next level is intelligence. The intelligence, by what intelligence? Reading Srimad Bhagavata, Bhagavad Gita. Intelligence. Now if one maintains their intelligence, then it's very good. The vehicle, you know, of Krishna consciousness, or the body can carry on without fall down. Right? At the highest level is intelligence. So intelligence has to be Krishna conscious. The mind has to be Krishna conscious. And then the body activity, taking prasadam, that should be Krishna conscious. So if you do only, you know, some prasadam, a little bit of service and all that, but you're not chanting properly, then also you fall down. You don't realize you're a soul. If you do devotions a little bit, you know, chanting and all that, if you don't read scriptures, then also chances of falling down. But if one eats prasadam, do service, chant 16 rounds, and then read scriptures regularly, then he's fixed, his intelligence is fixed. And then he will, there's a chance, less chances for his fall, right? Because intelligence is fixed. Now, his jnani works on the mental platform, mental concoction. So he falls down again into the material pool, and then he has to start from there. So this process of Krishna consciousness where intelligence, spiritual intelligence, Krishna says in chapter 3, right? With spiritual intelligence, you can control material senses. Lord says. It's very, very difficult to control your senses. material senses. But with spiritual intelligence is easy. See, what Lord is giving all important tips, you know, for the conditioned entity. Why? Because of the compassionate nature of Krishna. Very, very, very compassionate Krishna. That's why he's sending the holy name. He's coming in the form of worshipable deities. Look at Radha Ballabha, Shishishi Gaurnitha, how beautiful. Shishishi Radha Ballabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. He's coming in the form of worshipable deity. He's coming in the form of holy name. He's coming as prasadam. You offer it and eat. He's coming in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Lord is there. He's coming in the form of Vaishnavas, association, devotees. Every way Krishna is helping the conditioned living entity to come out of the cycle of repeated birth and death. Do we know that? Do we realize that? Yes? No? No? Yes? So we have to know that, realize it. Alright? So although this karmi works very hard, yet he falls down. Why? Because his intelligence is not fixed. Right? So this is what about the first sloka is talking about. And then we'll come back. Just one more point I want to add on. So this binding of this the living entity to the material energy is very, very strong. Okay? And because he's bound by the material energy, he has to follow the two laws. As long as, say for example, you're not a devotee, right? You are serving the material energy, then one has to follow the two laws of material nature. What are the two laws? Any guess? One you can guess. One he has to follow is the, what is that? Law of karma. If you do a good thing, you get a good reaction. If you do a bad thing, bad reaction. If you are neutral, no reaction. See, law of karma. Krishna has forced that into the material world. See, this material world is not just, you know, just like that. Krishna has produced. See, what intelligence. Right? Karma, akarma, vikarma. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita. If you do a good activity, prescribed duties, nicely do your prescribed duties, husband, wife, go for work, earn money, build house and all that. Right? Krishna does not interfere with you. Right? Neutral. Okay, prescribe. You will get good karma. You are working very hard. Good money. You know, bank balance. All that. Now, if you do vikarma, smoking, drinking, etc., etc., what you do? You get bad karma. You suffer. Stroke, that one, this one, whatever may be karma, all bad karma. Now, if a person is intelligent, he takes a devotion service, akarma. Akarma means devotion service, neutral. So no more karma, no more karma for him to suffer. So he's neutral, he's going towards Krishna, you know, and then he need not have to suffer anything. So this is one, law of karma. What's the second one? Krishna is controlling the material energy. Through what? Through another law he's controlling. One have to go through these two laws. There is no other alternative for you, for anyone who is in the three modes of material nature. No, law of reincarnation. You do a good reaction, you get a, this birth is okay, next birth you get a body based on whatever modes you associate with. Right? Law of reincarnation. Everyone have to take a body. Jatas hihi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya. Second chapter, Krishna says, if you are born, you are going to die. If you die, you are going to be born again. Well, is Krishna joking with us? If you die, you are born again. So what is that? Law of reincarnation. So these two things are binding the living entity. Right? Because the soul, after all, uses the body. Right? From childhood to boyhood, the body is constantly changing. Childhood to boyhood, boyhood to youth, youth to adolescent, adolescence to old age. And then the body dies. So the soul takes one more body. One more body. We see from our, what is there difficult to understand, right? With a little bit of common sense you see, right? I was a child. I was a youth. I was in adolescence, now old age, now soon death only then. What's the next thing? I'm not going back to youth. Death, next stage is death. So the body dies. What do you do when the body dies? Do you preserve it in the museum? You burn it off. So don't we know that we are not this body? What intelligence do you need? When we die, the body is burnt. So the body is like a jumper. You know? We use a jumper. And if I think that I'm the jumper, I'm a fool. So the body is given. It's an instrument. Yantra Rudaya Mayaya. Krishna says in 18th chapter, right? It's a material. It's a machine. I've given it to you. Why do you think it's a... It's you. It's a machine covering the soul. The soul is everything. Just you're attached to a machine and you think that, yes, I am this machine. Then you are a fool. Listen to Krishna's advice. Come over that. You are a soul. Perform devotional service. Realize you are a soul. Go back to Krishna. Everything, funny problem solved. No more redundancy. No more job. No more looking for, you know. Always happy. Right? Okay. We'll move on to the next verse. Right? Such heavy purport, Srila Prabhupada is saying. If we have time, we'll see for next 5 minutes and then we'll discuss it. The misconception of I am the Lord or I am the Supreme is more dangerous than the misconception of mine. Although there are sometimes directions in the Vedic literature to think oneself one with the Lord, that does not mean that one becomes identical with the Lord in every aspect. Undoubtedly, there is oneness of the living entity with the Lord in many aspects, but ultimately the living entity is subordinate to the Lord. He is constitutionally meant for satisfying the senses of the Lord. See? Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchyate. What is devotion service? Devotion service means using all your senses in satisfying and giving pleasure to the Lord. That is devotion service. That is spiritual life. Material life means enjoying your senses, producing karma. Spiritual life means working for the satisfaction of Krishna and enjoying with Krishna. Not separate from Krishna. The Lord therefore asked the conditioned soul to surrender unto Him. Had the living entity, see Prabhupada is asking a very, very, very intelligent question and he's answering also. Look at the question. He is saying, had the living entities not been subordinate to the supreme will, why would the living entity be asked to surrender? What a question. I did not think of that. Look at Prabhupada's intelligence, right? If Krishna is asking in Bhagavad Gita, right, in the 18th chapter, that surrender unto me, sarva dharman parikshetcha, mamekam sharanam raja, right? Surrender unto me means, why Krishna is asking us to surrender? Why is he asking? Subordinate. Because we are subordinate to the Lord. But as long as the main problem of the living entity is thinking that he is a controller and he is an enjoyer. If you leave that attitude or the propensity that I am not the controller, I am not the enjoyer, I am a servant of Krishna, immediately you attain peace. The peace, you get so much peace. The moment you control and enjoy the mental energy, you have to suffer. This is how the reaction of the mental energy. But if you don't enjoy, you don't exploit the mental energy, there is peace. Immediately you attain peace. So, and then, had the living entity had been equal in all respects, then why was he put under the influence of Maya? See? This is another question, Srila Prabhupada says, if the living entity thinks that he is God, then why you are in the prison house of Maya? Why are you in the prison? Right? Someone will not accept. Oh, we are free, you know. If you are free, you can do everything you want, right? But you cannot. Anything you do, it is karma. Right? You have to follow the law of Manu Samhita. Everything there is a law. You have to follow that. You got enjoy something, you follow it. Do it in a proper way. That's what Krishna wants. Right? You want to have a company of a lady? Get married. You want to have children? Do it in a proper way. Not like cats and dogs. Cats and dogs don't get married. They don't do it, you know. They don't differentiate between mother and sister. Do it in the proper way. Get married. And produce Krishna conscious children. Improve the society. This is how it is. Not whatever you want. If whatever you want, then why you are forced at it? Why you are in birth, death, old age, this is? Why do you become old? You can stay as it is if you are equal to God. Right? Why do you die? What do you know what's happening after death? You don't know. You're ignorant. So one is subordinate. Based on all these questions, one is subordinate. If you are subordinate, better surrender to Krishna. That's what he wants. Why do the living entity have this false ego and superiority, the false sense of proprietorship over the material energy? Why does he have that? Because of false ego. I am better. What are you better? In what way you are better? You cannot think what is going on outside. You cannot even see what is outside the door. What is the need of the false ego? Right? One has to chant and surrender to the will and the instructions of the law. Then one will be okay. As long as one does not surrender, this material energy will haunt him and suffer. Living entity has to suffer. Right? He has to suffer because of the forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna bhulise jiva anadi bahirmo ateva maya tera deha samsara dut. Because of forgetting Krishna. Because you are thinking that you are illusory Krishna. You are not Krishna, but illusory. I am Krishna. I am as powerful as Krishna. So maya puts you. Maya makes you to suffer. How? Repeated birth. Samsara dut. Repeated birth and death. Go on. Keep on doing that. Keep on imitating Krishna's position. Keep on getting bodies. But surrender to Krishna, enjoy Krishna. If you surrender, you will enjoy. If you don't surrender, you suffer. That's how it is. From your point of view, it is not fair. But Krishna's point of view, it's very, very fair. Because you are the soul. You are not the body. From your body point of view, you want to enjoy. From Krishna's soul point of view, you are suffering. Okay. All right. At the living end. We have already discussed many times that the material energy is controlled by the law. See? The material energy is also one of the energy of the law. It is not independent. It is working as though it's independent. Because the Lord is aloof from there. Lord is not attached to the material energy. Lord is attached to the spiritual energy. See, it's alone. Right? The Bhagavad Gita 9.10 confirms this controlling power of the Lord over the material energy. Can a living entity who claims to be as good as the Supreme Lord control the material energy? The foolish I would reply that he will do so in the future. Right? The foolish person will say, yes, I will control the material energy in the future, but it's not possible. Even accepting that in the future one will be as good as the control of the material nature as the Supreme Lord, then why is one now under the influence of the material nature? So, Srila Prabhupada is saying, if one thinks that, yes, I'm going to control in the material nature, I'm able to control the material nature in the future, then why you are in the material energy now? Get released now. Krishna comes on his own sweet will. He is not implicated by karma. The Lord can come and do anything he wants on his own sweet will. But did I come on my own sweet will? No. I was pushed by my karma into a parent's one parent, mother and father. That is why you are born. And you have to go through that, all these problems. This is my karma. I have to go through that. I did not have a choice. I want to be born in this place, over that, like this. You know, no. I don't have a choice. I am just, with whatever facilities, you know, I have to live. Right? Did any of you have a choice to be, you know, wherever you want you are born? Did you have that choice? Then, we don't have independence. Only Krishna comes. He knows when to come, when to go. Because of his supreme intelligence. He's not bound by anything. He's independent. First of all, we have to understand why we have to surrender to Krishna is he's totally independent. Krishna is not bound by anything. For example, if I want to, you know, surrender to you, you are bound yourself. What is the point in surrendering to a material body who's already surrendered? You know, who's already, you know, tied up in the mode of three modes of material nature, right? The person himself is suffering. What is the point in surrendering to him? But Krishna is completely free. independent. Only he can give you independence. That is the reason we are surrendering to him, the Lord. He is not an ordinary person. Unlimitedly powerful. Unlimitedly powerful, Krishna. You cannot even talk. You can talk about Krishna in one day. It's not possible. You cannot talk in 1 year about Krishna. Not possible. Anantha Shesh has got 1 million heads, hoods, right? 1 million hoods. It is kept on talking, keeps on talking about Krishna's pastime. It's never finishing. Can I talk Krishna's pastime in 1 hour? How can I do that? Anantha Shesh, constantly talking Krishna's pastime. It never finishes. This is the power of the Lord. We are not dealing with ordinary person. Unlimitedly powerful Krishna. He can do anything he wants. He can do, if we, you know, see, a tiny living entity can enjoy in a tiny way. But the tiny living entity, if it's connected to the Supreme Lord, he can enjoy in a supreme way. We forget that. All the time we think, I want to enjoy. Fine. But you connect to Krishna, you enjoy in a supreme way, right? Do we ever think like that? Unlimitedly you can enjoy. With this body, what can you enjoy? But if you connect to Krishna, unlimitedly you can enjoy. No doubt about it. Every second is happiness. Srila Rupa Goswami, in Nectar of Devotion, he says, yes, there are three kinds of happiness. He accepts. Happiness derived from this body. Yes, Rupa Goswami is our Acharya. He confirms, yes, I agree that there is happiness from the body. But that is flickering happiness. How long can you enjoy whatever you are enjoying? How long? How many minutes? How many seconds? Drinking coffee, smoking, how many? Can you smoke for 1 hour? Whatever maybe. Can you drink for 1 hour? Your body will, you know, if you drink for 1 hour, your intestine will burn, it will blast. Only flickering happiness. Then Rupa Goswami says, higher than that is realizing that you are a spirit soul. See, as long as I realize I am a body, I can enjoy in a minor way seeing a movie for whatever time, smoking, eating something nonsense. How long can I enjoy? That is only based on the body. But if I realize that I am a spirit soul, I get unlimited happiness. Because the body is going to die old. How much can you? The body itself is temporary. How can you get permanent happiness from a temporary body? It's no logic there. Right? The body is temporary. So if you realize you are a soul, you get a lot of happiness. Brahman level. Now, if that Brahman soul connects to Krishna, this is unimaginable, unlimited happiness. One cannot explain. I cannot explain. Only Rupa Goswami can explain. I cannot explain because I am not experienced. But Srila Rupa Goswami can explain that if the soul comes in contact with the Supreme Soul, unlimited enjoyment, unlimited happiness, you cannot even say, you know, it's too much for us. Okay. The Bhagavad Gita says that one can be freed from the control of the mental energy by surrendering unto the Supreme Lord. If there is no surrender, then the living entity will never be able to control the mental energy. So, one must give up the conception of I by practicing the way of devotion service, or firmly situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A poor man without any employment. See, this is a very good example Srila Prabhupada is saying. A poor man without any employment or occupation may undergo so many troubles in life. Right? But if by chance the same man gets a good service or a job under the government, he at once becomes happy. There is no profit in denying the supremacy of the Lord, who is the controller of all energies, but one should be constitutionally situated in one's own glory, namely to be situated in pure consciousness of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. In the conditioned life, the living entity is a servant of the illusory Maya, and in the liberated state is pure, unqualified servant of the Lord. See? As long as you serve the mental energy, you are a servant of Maya. You are a Godasa. You are serving your senses. The eye wants to see a movie, you are serving. The tongue wants to eat, you are serving. The ear wants to see some music, you are serving the ear. The genital wants something, you are serving. You are a servant of your own body. But people who are practicing Krishna consciousness, they are Goswami, they are master of the senses. Because of the power that is coming from Krishna, one is able to control the senses. They are master of the senses. They are not servant. Whoever is in the metal energy, they are servant. They want something, they have to do it. But if you serve Krishna, you become the master. Don't you think it's a very good position, right? To be the master of your senses and serve the Lord continuously. Krishna is getting that position. Just by serving Krishna, all you have to do is take prasadam, chant Krishna's name, and listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, hear about Krishna. Then you can control your senses. When the senses are controlled, the intelligence and the mind is free. It is not, you know, addicted to something. Otherwise, very, very difficult. Addiction. There is addiction for cigarette, addiction for alcohol, addiction for sex, addiction. They cannot stop. It can be stopped by coming to Krishna. Alright? Now, yes, we talked about it, the conditioned life. The time is also running up. So I thought I'll finish up with a, normally I finish off with a story, right? So that, you know, that sits in your mind. Okay? We'll finish off with a story about 10 minutes or so. This is the power of the illusory energy. Right? How the illusory energy is very powerful. Now, what happens is, now, the story is revolving around a man and his chaste wife. Alright? So, a man has a chaste wife and the wife is serving the man. Like a husband-wife relationship. Now, what has happened was, this man has somehow developed a parama. What is parama? Lover. Somehow he got in contact with a lover, you know. External, illicit relationship. One more lover, but what's, why not? You know, I'm okay, I've got a lot of money, I'm okay, you know, I'm handsome, good. I'll have one more wife. He developed, okay? Now, the chaste wife did not know. She was serving, you know, and all that. Initially, you know, it was like, you know, I was going and seeing and all that. Then sometimes, what happened? This man was not coming home. Right? Then, the wife is a little bit intelligent, right? She knows, okay, there is some extra relationship going on. Right? So we have to find out that. So as a normal, dutiful wife, so she asked the husband, yes, I want to know what's going on because I've been serving you nicely. Is there anything going on like that? You know? Then the husband, you know, he was also frank. He said, yes. Yes, you know, I have a lover. You know, sometimes I visit her. Now this lady asked, fine, if you have a lover, tell me what she is different to me. Alright? So that I can try to lift up my standard to that level. So that you need not have to go. Tell me. Then this man said, no, she cooks very nice food. Excellent food. And I'm captivated by that. And that is why I'm attracted to this lady. Then imagine what happens. This lady went to all the food screen market and bought all the fruits, vegetables and all that. And then she made very good food. Right? So the man came home, he looked at the delicious foods and he was very much impressed. Oh, very nice food. I've never tasted like this. He ate and he was happy. That's it. Then the following day, he did not come home. Then this woman was thinking, what is going on? Okay, he said, then again, you know, he may be attracted and all that. Again, you know, he came and the next day he came and he said, what's wrong? See, you wanted all the nice food, you know. I changed, I made the best of preparation for you and still you're not happy. Then he said, yeah, that's right. Okay, so what is that which is different that the lady has got other than me? I'll try to adopt to that. Then he said, fine, she dresses very nicely. You know, very opulent dressing and, you know, all that. So I'm attracted to the dressing. Again, external body. Then this lady said, okay, fine. Let me go to the, you know, the best dresser, hairdresser and all that. You know, fix me up. I'll get myself fixed, you know, with all the cosmetics and all that. And then the man came home and she said, oh, you're very beautiful and I've never seen you like this. Fine. I'm very much attracted to you and all that. Okay? That's fine. The following day, again he went back to the lover. This lady was going on. This is something wrong. Okay? This is, what is going on? And again she was kind enough, you know. In a way she asked, what's going on? Please tell me. Then this man said, yeah, that's all right, that's fine, you know. But I like the way she fights with me, she kicks me, and she bites me. Can you repeat it? This man is saying, I like the way she fights with me, she kicks me, and she bites me. Then this lady said, I mean, this is not a dog or something, it's a lady only. Sometimes I was saying, maybe it's a dog with the bites. That's why he's attracted. No, lady. Then this lady, the chaste lady, said, listen, I love you. Okay? I'm a chaste wife. I'm a beautiful wife. I don't want to kick you. I don't want to bite you. I don't want to fight with you. I love you. So I cannot do what the lady is saying. You go. I'm giving you freedom. You go and live with her. I cannot do this. You go. Now, the same way we are doing that to Krishna. Okay? Now, Krishna has got a very perfect relationship with each one of us. Right? Krishna is a perfect as a lover. Krishna is perfect as a son. Krishna is perfect as what else? Friend. Beautiful. Perfect relationship with a friend. And whatever you think of, you can have a perfect relationship with Krishna, right? But what we are doing is, we want temporary relationship. Krishna, we don't want permanent relationship. We want temporary relationship, you are happy. If you please close your eyes, I don't want you. So what Maya is doing, it is kicking and biting us. Krishna is saying, do you really want that relationship, that kicking and biting? No. Yes, I want it. You're sure? But Krishna is saying, look, you are my eternal fragmental part. Mame vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Right? You are my eternal fragmental part, each one of you. I want to love you. I want to give you the best. I don't want to give you birth, death, old age, disease. What did we say? We don't want eternal happiness. We want birth, death, old age, disease. Right? We don't want perfect relationship with you. We want the kickings and bitings of Maya. Are you sure? Yes. Go. Go. And then realize that one day, yes, I am craving for the relationship with Krishna. I want to serve only Krishna. I don't want anything. I tried this. I tried that. I tried to be a dog. I tried to be a snake. I tried to be a monkey. I tried to be a pig. I was eating stool. I was climbing on the mountain. I was a fish in water. I was a tree. I know I got a human form. It's a perfect opportunity for me. Let me serve you. Let me have this relationship with you. In this way, I don't want the kickings and the bitings of Maya. Lord, will you accept me? Then what happens? Yes. The living entity, when he surrenders to Krishna, this is a surrender, then what happens? Krishna can release him from Maya. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna is a controller of the all energies, material energy. So Krishna says, release this man. Released. Like a president of a country, he can go and he can say, this person is very good. Release him from the prison. He is released. Krishna is, material energy is under the control of the Lord. So the Lord says, please release him. Let him serve my energy. Let him serve me. So the material energy is neutral. I will not touch him. As long as he is following the four regulatory principles. He is chanting Krishna's name. He is taking Krishna prasadam. He is talking, he is chanting Krishna's name. He is reading about Krishna. I will not touch him. It's a promise. The moment you go back, Maya will touch you. Is it a good deal? Right? So Krishna says, for that it's not easy. You have to prove to Krishna that I want you. I want Krishna. Each one of us have to prove to Krishna. Yes, Krishna, I want to have a relationship. I want only you. Then you are free. You are liberated. That is liberation. Liberation is not just getting out of material body. Liberation means the moment you know that you are a soul, you are not this body, you are liberated already. You are all liberated now. One need not have to leave this body for liberation. The same body, if you know that I am the soul and you worship the Lord and do devotional service, you are already liberated. Maya will not touch you. You will not get next birth, right? What does liberation mean? Free from Maya. When you go to Krishna, you are free from Maya. So there are only two things, attachment and detachment. We are thinking, oh, I want to detach from matter, I want to detach from material energy, I want to detach from family, I want to detach. It's not possible. Attach to Krishna. Do everything, serve your family nicely. We are not saying, go and live in the forest. Serve your family. Krishna is in the center, not the husband alone. Earn money. Serve Krishna nicely. Give some donation. Take care of your family. Let all your members in the house serve Krishna. What is wrong? Educate your children. Get up in the morning. Go to the altar. Offer and keep a small flower. Worship the Lord. Chant one round of Hare Krishna mantra. It's not difficult. Children are playing on this computer for 80 hours. Right? When there's 24 hours, they are 28 hours they are working on the computer, playing. Educate them. One round, one mala of Hare Krishna mantra. Go and fall obeisances at the Lord. Develop a relationship. Now that will help them. If a parent does not teach the children this Krishna conscious, then the parent is not considered a parent. He's not teaching his children. One can live a child, you know, so many things. He can give a computer games. But if the child does not know how to use it, what is the use? So the best thing a parent, a husband, a wife, a mother, a father can give to the respective dependent is Krishna consciousness, which is freely available. You do not have to make any endeavor. Hare Krishna mantra is there. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna mantra. What is the problem? One mala, the whole family can chant. Instead of coming to the temple, take Krishna home. Keep an altar of Krishna in the home. Worship the Lord. Offer your food to Krishna. Chant Krishna's name. Keep Bhagavad Gita in your house. Work one sloka per day. 5 minutes. Is it not difficult? Is it not very easy? Is it any difficulties there? Any difficulties there? No. Why we are not doing? Because of false ego, I will not surrender. Envious nature. We are all as envious. Why Krishna is always given enjoyment? Why not me? I am the center. I am the center of the universe. Everything should revolve around me. You worship me. Think of me. No. Krishna can say that because he is a supreme lord. Always think of me. Always Krishna says, think of me, serve me, worship me, and thus you will come to me without fail. Krishna is giving this opportunity to all of us because you've got this body. Everyone has got the capacity. Everyone can go back to Krishna. It is not that only I can go, you cannot go. No. We all can go to our Father's place and live eternally there. Everyone can go. As long as you can, you're a human form, you can go. But if you've got a dog's body, you cannot go. Luckily, in this birth, right, because of the divine appearance of Srila Prabhupada to this world, we have got this wonderful Krishna consciousness. Let us follow it. Let them go back. That's it. No more birth, no more death, no more old age. No more coming back. Because the body is constantly changing. Right? See, this young fellow is there. How old are you? 11 years. He will soon become 15 years. the body will change. And then he will become 20 years. Then 25 years, the parents will start looking for a girl. Then mother will say, come on, he was 5 years or 11 years. Yeah, he will grow, body will grow. And then he will get his family. That's it, finished. He will have his children, he will think. This is all we are all going through this stage. But forgetfulness of Krishna means ignorance. So always think of Krishna, never forget him. This is all the essence of Vedas. Whatever Vedas, whatever Upanishad, whatever Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavad, everything you see, the only rule it says is always think of Krishna, never forget him. Alright? Okay, we'll stop here. Gantarashiva. Any questions? Okay, Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada, Gaurav Premanand.